Today, we're wrapping up our final broadcast by turning to the behind-the-scenes voices for their thoughts about News and Notes. We have now our editor, Sasha Woodruff, who is here to tell us about her favorite segments. Hey, Sasha, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Tell us which stories you're looking back on today.
Well, so the first one is a story that I produced last October about the 100th anniversary of Allensworth. That was the first town in California that was funded and founded solely by African Americans. We started out with an interview with Lonnie Bunch. He's the founding director of the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture. Former host Farai Chidea started by asking him to set the scene of Allensworth.
Well, imagine, if you will, it's the time in America when segregation is the law of the land, when discrimination against African Americans was the norm rather than being unusual. It was a time when 100 black men per year were lynched in the South. It was a time when most blacks lived in the South and were stuck in low-level jobs, sharecroppers, porters, maids. It was a time when it was hard for people, especially African Americans, to believe that there would be a better day, and yet they did. And Allensworth was really an example of how a community came together to believe, but also to work hard to find a better day.
So Allensworth was meant to be a haven from discrimination, and it wasn't the only town of its type.
Well, what happens is that there have been a history of African-American towns in Massachusetts, in New Jersey, Boley, Oklahoma, Nicodemus, Kansas. And so Allensworth, on the surface, is just like that, an attempt to create an oasis free of racism. But what I think is so exciting about Allensworth as a community is that they recognize that what they were doing was greater than them. While they definitely wanted to have a community where there could be black businessmen and shopkeepers and school teachers, they recognized that their mission was bigger. If they could be a successful community and show economic progress and show leadership, they felt that would be a beacon of change that would echo around the country, that people would see Allensworth and say, African Americans can control their own destiny, can be contributing members of American society, and their hope would be that would help to change the racial dynamics in this country.
And then we talked to one-time resident Alice Royal, who was born in Allensworth in 1923. She shared these memories with us.
Well, I remember my grandmother because I used to follow her everywhere, in the home, in her garden, and she raised all of her vegetables and her condiments for cooking. And then across the road, she had her cows and her chickens. I tried to help her collect the eggs because the chickens knew her better than they knew me. So I just had to watch and cautiously try to reach the eggs every day.
Or else you'd get a peck on
the
hand.
They were Rhode Island red chickens, and of course the eggs were brown and were supposed to be the most nourishing. And then with the cow, I also tried to milk the cow, but I didn't do a very good job as an 8-year-old. And so most of the time I just watched and helped my mother and my grandmother with the milk and the cream and the churning in the home.
What do you remember about the other people in the town? Did people congregate?
They were very loving, gracious people because my grandparents were highly respected in the community. And then so many of the community members were friends. Some of them were church members, and some of them were educators. Some of them were business people. And we were welcome when we went to the post office. We were welcome when we went to the drugstore. We were welcome when we went to the other stores in the community. And, of course, my aunt was a teacher in the school during my day. And so on special occasions, we had taffy pulls in the Hackett home for all the children in the community. And, of course, that was joy time as well.
Allensworth is now a California state park where people can visit this historic haven. What did you like best about producing this story, Sasha?
When I go back and listen to these stories, I actually just smile when I hear Alice Royal talk about the details of the chickens and the cows and the taffy pulls. And I love hearing the pride in her voice about helping keep this town's memory alive.
Now, you also did a story about a bass baritone named Eric Owens. Why'd you pick this one as one of your favorites?
Well, I have to admit, I've always been a little bit of an opera geek. And so when I had a chance to book Eric Owens, who just debuted at the Metropolitan Opera late last year, I jumped at the chance. And the most interesting part of the interview for me was when he talked about singing the role of General Leslie Groves in the production of Dr. Atomic, which is about the making of the atomic bomb.
What do you like about this character or playing this character? Who was white, by the way, and I want to
exactly.
ask you about that. You know, it's
absolutely,
like,
yeah.
It's that the whole question of cross-racial casting
right.
comes into play.
Indeed.
Or race neutral, some people call it.
And it's so funny because I was curious as to how people would react to me playing someone who was white and a character of the not too distant past. You know, there are people who are still alive who knew this man. But John Adams, he wanted me to be in this opera, and he just thought it was character driven. He thought I could bring this character to life, and it did. It made no difference to him whatsoever. You know. And also the original director and the librettist, Peter Sellers. And they thought this was a story that affects all mankind. So, you know, whether I was black or white didn't matter to them. And so ultimately it didn't matter to me. And I was just happy to be a part of the production.
Well, Sasha, let me ask you this, because I don't think people realize that what you do on an everyday basis. I know that you produce things like what we just heard, but every day you are responsible because every word that is spoken, every written word on the air here has to go through you, right?
Yes it does.
I imagine there's some words that you probably never thought you would run across.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and having to read through those scripts every single day, I mean, it can get a little bit grueling.
Anything stand out for you in terms of just the experience of being here in the building, around the folks and the staff meetings and the arguments and the, you know, things that we have in terms of trying to put News and Notes on the air every day?
You know, we have a really small staff, but it's a really great staff. And as far as the work dynamic goes, I think it's probably one of the best places I've worked as far as that goes. And it's just been a lot of fun. It's also been fun to learn how to work with different hosts. Like, I started out working with Farai, and I had to kind of figure out the way she liked things done. And now I'm finally getting the groove of working with you, which has also been a real honor to do. So it's been a really, really wonderful experience this last year.
You've done a good job. We
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.